So in this short time together, we have accomplished a lot. We took an exploratory launch into the meditative waters at the very start. That was our canoe ride. Then we came back and studied the method and went back out for a 15-minute session. And now we just looked at each of the 10 steps. That's a lot for one session, and I wouldn't be surprised if you were ready for a break. This is a good place for that. You can come back to these last two tracks later today or tomorrow and not lose the momentum. The very best, though, is to keep going right now. Besides being curious about what else I have to say, your reason for continuing to the end of the CD is to get more than just the taste of meditation you have just had. While you may not be ready to make meditation a daily practice, you probably can see the value of becoming more skilled in it so that you are confident about doing it whenever you want to. And that takes some practice and some more information. Fortunately, a CD gives us another 15 minutes or so, and I can't let that time go to waste. I'm going to give you a few more ideas about what the experience of meditation is like, and then on the last track, a few tips on how to go forward and really harvest the unique benefits of meditation by doing it regularly. As for the experience of meditation, the quickest tip I can give you here is that there are two things going on at once. Learning about these two factors right from the start is a key aim of the natural meditation teaching method. That's the method I'm using here, and I use it in my live classes and in the web course and in the book called A Course in Meditation. So what are these two factors? One is the content of meditation, and the other is the process or journey. The content of meditation is the thoughts and sounds and feelings and all the stuff that you notice during the meditation. That's the content. It includes thoughts about how to do the method and experiences of the mantra and thoughts about the absence of the mantra and so forth. The process of meditation goes on almost regardless of the content, as long as the method is maintained. The process is like a little trip or journey into the restful and healthy changes in the body and the opening, ventilating, healing changes in the mind. Something actually is happening to us when we meditate. It has a direction and a purpose, and it takes place in time. It doesn't just click on like a light as soon as you close your eyes. It's an organic process and deepens during the 20 minutes of meditation. You experience this as a gradual deepening of relaxation in the muscles of the arms and legs and the shoulder muscles and face and neck. It's a lot like a night's sleep. 15 minutes into meditation is quite different from 3 minutes into it. There are now about 40 studies on meditation that show a greater reduction of physical activity during 20 minutes of meditation than during a whole night's sleep. The mental process is a bit harder to describe than the physical one, but it closely parallels it. The mind expands in a subtle way that can take a while to appreciate. It's like what happens when you open the windows for the first time in spring, letting in the fresh air, the fragrance, and the light. Those are like the content of experience, the things you notice. The subtle thing that happens is that indoors now takes on some of the expansiveness of the outdoors. Something you didn't directly experience in the house during the winter, even though you knew it was out there. The expansiveness in meditation is also subtle, and it comes as attention lifts gently away from thoughts and things in the environment. This shift sometimes seems like diving deeper. People talk of having had a deep meditation, or sometimes feels like rising up, above or outside of what's going on around us. Much of the time, though, it can seem that you're just sitting there in the room, and that is fine. You will have a nearly continuous pulse of thoughts throughout the meditation, and it's actually just a sign that your mind is still working. Let it be as reassuring as the presence of the heartbeat and breath. Indeed, the energy that generates thoughts is the same that fuels the meditative processes. So whenever you have a thought or hear a sound, you can think the same thing I told you at the beginning of the canoe ride experience. I am feeling my flowing mind, and it's helping, it's carrying me in the right direction. A lot of people have a hard time accepting that it's okay to have extraneous thoughts in meditation. I think they often feel stressed by the constant pressure of their thoughts and have turned to meditation to get a break from that, and this is a great reason to meditate. But they'll have trouble staying with meditation if they think the mind should be swept clean of thought, especially if they think that they are responsible for sweeping them out. Then even a small thought will be as annoying as one of those houseflies buzzing through the room at night or relentlessly banging at the window all afternoon. Even if you forget you are meditating for a good while, the process itself doesn't stop. It only begins to wind down when you intentionally stop recalling the mantra, which is exactly what steps 9 and 10 do. So the point of this kind of meditation is to be in and to soak in a healing condition of mind and body. This is true of most forms of meditation that have come to the West directly from India. It's a principle of yoga. I think you know that when you do yoga postures, the point is not how you look doing them, or what thoughts happen through the mind during it, or what room you're in, and to some extent why you're doing it. If you just carefully put your body into the yoga postures and hold them in the proper way, you expose your body to a different condition, and that exposure itself is at least 80% of the benefit. And the same is true of this kind of meditation. We do it to be in it, because being in it changes us for the better, and the changes flow out to all aspects of life.